Why do so many couples who deeply love each other struggle to maintain desire? We've created an impossible equation, expecting one person to provide both unwavering security and thrilling unpredictability, the comfort of home and the excitement of adventure. This contradiction sits at the heart of modern relationships, where we've loaded onto our partners expectations once distributed across entire communities, extended families, and spiritual traditions. We want safety and danger, familiarity and mystery, roots and wings, all from the same person. The result? Countless couples find themselves trapped in what feels like a cruel paradox. The more successful they are at building intimacy, the more elusive passion becomes. Here's the uncomfortable truth. Love and desire don't always play nicely together. Love draws us closer, seeking to eliminate distance and create fusion. Desire, however, needs space to breathe. It thrives on tension, mystery, and the electricity of separateness. Think of Adele, the accomplished lawyer who describes her second marriage as satisfying 80% of the time. She appreciates her stability with Alan, yet mourns the loss of those early butterflies, that sense of being desired not as a wife or mother, but as a woman in her own right. We've inherited a relatively new problem. For most of human history, marriage had little to do with passion. It was about property, children, and social alliance. Only in the last century did we begin expecting romantic love and domestic partnership to coexist. The sexual revolution, feminism, and evolving social norms dismantled old structures, granting unprecedented freedom, but also creating new anxieties. We're freer than ever, yet more alone, placing enormous pressure on romantic relationships to fill voids once addressed by entire communities. Relationships follow a predictable arc. Intoxicating chemistry gives way to deepening attachment, which brings vulnerability. To manage this fear, couples seek security through routines and predictability. Yet in taming uncertainty, they inadvertently drain vitality. The safety they've constructed becomes desire's cage. Conventional relationship therapy assumes emotional intimacy naturally produces sexual desire. For many couples, this holds true. Safety allows erotic freedom. But there's a darker pattern. Relationships where deep connection coincides with vanishing desire. Sexual difficulties often stem not from insufficient closeness, but from excessive fusion. When two people merge completely, there's paradoxically no one left to connect with. Desire requires two distinct individuals. It needs the space between bodies, not just their union. Consider John, whose intimacy with Beatrice triggers childhood wounds where love meant entrapment. The more he cares, the less he desires her. Beatrice's response, abandoning separate interests, matching her life to his, only worsens their dynamic. Her eagerness to please increases John's emotional burden while diminishing her as an independent person. The solution isn't more togetherness, but cultivating personal intimacy, maintaining zones of privacy that belong exclusively to ourselves. Love may thrive on knowing everything, but desire needs mystery. We've narrowed intimacy to verbal disclosure. I speak, therefore I am, has become the relationship mantra. This talk intimacy emerged as marriages shifted from financial necessity to emotional connection, privileging empathetic conversation above all else. Men, socialized toward action rather than emotional articulation, often struggle with endless processing and get labeled intimacy deficient. Many express intimacy differently, through their bodies, acts of service, shared activities. For them, sex often provides the most natural language for tenderness and vulnerability. Excessive disclosure can damage rather than deepen connection. When transparency becomes mandatory, intimacy transforms into intrusion. Some couples confuse closeness with surveillance, eliminating the mystery that fuels desire. Where nothing remains hidden, nothing remains to seek. True intimacy isn't monolithic. It speaks many languages. Building furniture together, cooking a family recipe, sharing comfortable silence can be as intimate as hours of conversation. The healthiest relationships honor multiple forms of connection rather than insisting on a single approved pathway. America's finest qualities, democracy, equality, fairness, can create remarkably boring sex when applied too rigidly to the bedroom. While feminism rightfully challenged gender inequalities, insisting on completely egalitarian intimacy can work against erotic desire. Elizabeth, a hyper-responsible school psychologist, discovers liberation in sexual submission with her husband Vito. Surrendering control offers a vacation from constant responsibility. Marcus, a high-powered executive, finds relief in being spanked, finally released from always being in charge. These aren't reinforcing patriarchal patterns, they're subverting them through conscious play. Eroticism creates space to safely explore what's forbidden in daily life. Power imbalances, dependency, aggression, dynamics problematic elsewhere become exciting when consciously chosen and carefully negotiated. Most practitioners of kinky sex are drawn to power dynamics rather than pain itself. The goal isn't eliminating power from relationships, but understanding its dynamics, addressing harmful inequities while recognizing that some harmonious imbalances form the very basis of compatibility. Children often threaten the romance that created them. Parenthood transforms identity, bodies, finances, and priorities. We fall in love with our babies, consuming resources once devoted to the couple time, touch, communication, privacy. Family life flourishes in consistency, yet eroticism thrives on spontaneity and risk. Stephanie's creative energy redirected entirely toward her children, leaving Warren longing. The sensuous experiences mothers share with children provide physical pleasures strikingly similar to lover connections. Modern culture has inflated this natural bond to unprecedented levels, where one adult's complete self-sacrifice for perfect child development seems not just reasonable, but expected. Warren and Stephanie's home life actively undermines intimacy. Weekends consumed by children's activities, kids who barely sleep before parents do, open-door bedroom policies, no couple time alone. In 6 years, they haven't spent a single weekend together. They've turned to their children to fulfill needs once met by each other. For couples to maintain erotic connections amid parenthood requires valuing it enough to make intentional efforts. As I tell clients, planning implies intentionality, and intentionality conveys value. Children don't extinguish passion. Adults do when they fail to nurture the spark. Every relationship harbors the shadow of the third, the high school sweetheart, attractive stranger, or charismatic colleague. This presence represents our desire for what lies beyond the relationship's fence, forbidden fruit that seems sweeter precisely because it's off limits. Most couples refuse to acknowledge this reality, clinging to the illusion that perfect love exists in isolation. The threat of the third triggers anxious questions and elaborate rules. No close friendships with the opposite sex, restrictions on clothing, no reminiscing about exes. Many resort to surveillance, scrutinizing statements, checking phones, yet these strategies fail to address the fundamental fear that our beloved might desire someone else. Some couples subvert forbidden desire's power by openly acknowledging its existence. They create safe spaces to share fantasies, admit harmless attractions, allow controlled flirtation within boundaries. When couples validate each other's freedom, they often feel less inclined to search elsewhere. Recognizing the third, accepting that our partner has desires not necessarily about us, can actually add spice rather than inhibit sexuality. True relationship maturity isn't achieving passionless love, but developing love that acknowledges other passions while choosing not to pursue them. We've created a strange split: adventurous sex outside relationships, puritanical domesticity within. Many pursue excitement elsewhere, through affairs, pornography, or daydreams, while maintaining passion-free home lives. They've divided their world. Security inside, adventure outside. The myth of spontaneous passion prevents us from consciously willing desire. We believe great sex must be unplanned, yet early relationships required preparation, choosing outfits, planning dates, setting moods. In committed partnerships, whatever will just happen already has. Sustaining desire requires intentionality, transforming I couldn't resist into I don't want to resist. Planning generates anticipation. Sarah and Niall, parents of three, schedule Saturday nights to transition from parent to lover. Their ritual has sustained them through 12 years of marriage. When couples complain about listless sex, they're seeking intensity, not frequency. Eroticism, sexuality transformed by imagination, is exclusively human. Like poetry, it reveals another world inside this one, where we experiment and reinvent ourselves. Couples who maintain desire don't wait for passion, they cultivate it deliberately. They see seduction as valuable in itself, extend eroticism beyond the bedroom, and embrace playfulness. They experience dormant periods without panic, knowing desire naturally fluctuates. With attention and intention, they can always revive the spark.